Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
Here's David Hollander.
I don't know why they make the laws for retirees so complicated. Yep, the RMDs are back this year and trying to figure this out with all the rules surrounding how you take your required minimum distribution. It's complex and confusing. And for those of you who are uninitiated in it, if you make a mistake, you could face some pretty big penalties and taxes. That's right. RMDs are serious business. That's why our team specializes in retirement planning, because this isn't something you can just dabble in or work part-time in, like having heart surgery performed by a cardiologist instead of your family doctor. To get it right in retirement, you need a retirementologist. That's why you need to keep it tuned right here today for the entire show, as I share 8 things you need to know about your RMD for 2021. Good morning. I'm David Hollander, your host, and this is Protect Your Assets Radio. It's so good to be with you this morning. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, you can hear the jingle. They call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week. And that's because I run a financial advising firm, and I'm also a practicing attorney. We are live right now, broadcasting out of our little studio here. If you have a question, maybe you want to know if inflation's going to get out of hand now that we have this infrastructure spending coming, you can tweet me at PYA Radio. Again, that stands for Protect Your Assets. PYA Radio, anytime you like. Well, a lot changed last year. We all know that. But one thing that changed in 2020 that has created a lot of confusion for people in retirement right now are the rules surrounding the required minimum distribution, or RMDs as we call it. Last year, they became the NRMDs, i.e. you weren't required to take your minimum distribution. But what about this year? Will lawmakers also change the age when you must begin to take distributions from your retirement accounts and pay taxes? And so today you want to stay with us as we cut through the clutter and the confusion around RMDs as I share with you 8 things you need to know about how the RMDs work. And you're only going to find it here on Protect Your Assets. This is really one show you can't afford to miss. It's all coming up next. So keep it right here. Now let's get started. Well, the highlight for the shortened week was certainly optimism on the $2 trillion infrastructure and spending plan drove stocks higher. The Dow was up 0.24% for the week, S&P 500 up 1.14%, and the S&P 500 crossed the 4,000 number for the first time ever in history. Remember, I predicted on these past market segments, as we call them, I predicted 4,200 on the S&P this year, so we're on our way there. And the NASDAQ was up 2.60%. And, of course, they're going to do this by raising the corporate tax rates. That's the plan, from 21% up to 28% over the next 15 years. And that was some of the good news this week. We also saw consumer confidence in March jumped 19 points. It was up to 109.7. We haven't seen that sort of a reading in a really long time. The estimate was around 96. So consumers are super confident about the second half. Also, manufacturing exploded in March. This was the fastest expansion we've seen since, get this, 1983. And, well, that brought some news around with it. Yeah, it's the Consumer Price Index. That's our window into inflation. And that was up 1.7% year over year. So, yeah, that's a sign that inflation is out there. And so a lot of people are asking right now, well, is inflation going to get out of control with all the stimulus, all the money that's coming with the with now the infrastructure spending? And that's the big question. And so my opinion is no. I think there's a huge hole that we have to fill. And as long as we get it right, if you will, then we should continue to move higher. Now, as you know, Europe's not doing as well. They're in a double dip recession right now. And why is that? Well, because they messed up their vaccine rollout. The infections are way out of control. I have friends over in France and Germany are talking about new lockdowns and what they're going through. They're not happy people over there, so it's just tough. And the policy side has just been disappointing. So I don't recommend you look at investing in Europe this year if you're thinking about that. If you're in it, maybe you want to get out. It's just going to take some time for them to come back. So be aware of that. Well, now that we're seeing the markets higher, does this excess liquidity mean things are great? Well, sure, when you have all this excess liquidity, all the stimulus coming, well, what do you get? You get higher stock prices that we're seeing. You see home prices like we're seeing in the Bay Area get super expensive, and things like collector cars and all those sort of things are also going up in value. And that's why it's this money is finding places to go. But guess what? When you have excess liquidity like we have right now, and that more is coming, obviously, there's also some bad things that start to happen. And so this week, we saw it. I don't know if you saw it in the early part of the week, but markets became a little bit jittery. And this was in relation to the Archegos liquidations. I'm not sure if you know what this is, but Archegos is a hedge fund, and they started a different sort of trading strategy that actually impacted the broader market. And this was as a result of this hedge fund. It's a family office called Archegos Capital Management, if you want to check it out. They had positions liquidated by their brokers and their banks that resulted in pretty big declines in some stock prices that they were holding. Like VAIC went down from 95 to 45 in over a week. DISCK, 66 down to 35 in a week. And Baidu, you probably know that, BIDU, 250 to less than 200. And the main reason for this was the focus on this Archegos situation that had developed. Now, this is a hedge fund that essentially managed about $5 billion in capital. So they had about $5 billion that they managed. But what was incredible is that the positions that were forced to blow out were a little bit more than $30 billion. So you wonder, well, how could someone who manages $5 billion get forced to sell $30 billion because they don't have that kind of money? Well, this is why it matters, because this company, and this is, by the way, the third time we've seen something like this year. And the year's not just getting started. So this is what happens when you get excess liquidity. You have these creative financing structures, like we saw back in 2008, you may remember, that all of a sudden unwind. And so this one was called a contract for differences. And this is interesting. So what this allowed these sort of brokers to do was amass pretty large equity positions with no underlying equity backing the trades. And so they're known as contracts for differences. And these are things that hedge funds are using to get massive leverage on an investment with very little requirement. There's no regulation around these things. And in this particular case, the capital requirement was around 2%. So what makes these CFDs concerning is it's very hard to know what exposure the fund is carrying when they go do this. So to give you an example, let's say that they called up their prime broker, their trader, and they said, hey, I want to go long on $100 million worth of Apple stock. Well, that would cost 2% or $2 million. So they've got exposure worth $100 million, and they only got to come up with $2 million. And then I could call a different prime broker and enter the same trade with that broker, who's a different company altogether, for the same $100 million, and now I'm long $200 million, and it only cost me $4 million. So you get it? You see that? So none of my creditors at that point would know my total exposure, and I don't have to own the stock. So I'm just literally entering into a contract that says I'm receiving the profits between the initial price of, say, $100, and if it goes to $120, I got a $20 profit. And you can do this, by the way, on the long end, So that would be if the stocks are going up, or you can also short these things too. And if stocks go down, you make money that way as well. So when Archegos couldn't meet the margin call, and why you get a margin call is usually because the stock will move a direction that you weren't anticipating. And now you have to come up with extra capital to make that bet work. And if you can't come up with extra capital, then the banks or the trading firms go ahead and they sell your position. So the fear is that this is just another canary in the coal mine and that we may continue to see things like this as a result of the sort of stimulus now that's out there in the market. This is, again, these are the sort of things that we've seen in the past. And then you see companies that are related to this start to get hit. So this past week when this was all going down, we saw some banks get hit on fears of contagion where they had exposure to this sort of thing. And so the market's going to continue to have to deal with the negative side of excess liquidity as we work through the next year, couple years on this sort of thing. So I just want you to be aware of those sort of things because those are the things that can come out of nowhere that can literally disrupt the upside that we're seeing. And so when you start to see these sort of creative contracts coming out, it makes you scratch your head and just say, wow, you know, what's next? So next week, I want you to be paying attention to inflation again. We're looking at inflation again. I'm not overly concerned about that right now. I'll keep saying that. I know there's a lot of opinion about that. It's very hotly contested right now. I think we're in a pretty deep hole right now when you look at the unemployment level. You look at the people who want to get back out there and do things. You're seeing it right now if you're going out to restaurants or driving around. The traffic's getting worse. I mean, these are all signs that life's getting back to normal. So we're just trying to fill the hole, if you will, that was created through the pandemic. And so I think we've got a long way to go there. And I think that will work out to the positive. But again, we got to be paying attention to the signals. So on Monday, we're going to see the ISM Services Index. That's, again, something that could show inflationary pressure. We'll see how that looks. I'm not expecting anything, again, terrible there. Thursday, we'll see the initial jobless claims number come out again. Again, you want to see that on the downward trend, and that should be the direction that's going. It's certainly what it's looking like. If there's any sort of big disruption there, well, again, we'll react to that. And then Friday, you get the producer price index, which is another symbol of inflation and what prices are costing looking forward. So all these sort of things we will have our eyes on next week for sure, and we'll just see where things are going. Did you have to take your RMD in 2021? Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Find out when we come back what the new rules say and what you're going to have to do as you face this question if you have a retirement account. You are listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
If it keeps on raining, maybe it's gonna break.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. Don't you hate paying taxes? I mean, there's nothing worse than being forced to pay tax on money you weren't expecting or you just don't need. Well, for many people who reach a certain age, this is exactly how they feel when they're forced to beginning taking money out of their IRAs or their 401ks and having to pay tax on that money, and they don't really need it. We call this the dreaded RMD, or required minimum distribution. And this is what we're focusing on today's show, specifically a handful of tips to keep the IRS off your back and your tax bill as low as possible. So if you have an IRA, a 401k, a TSP plan, and whether you're already taking your RMDs or maybe you're years away, one mishap or mistake can cost you big time in taxes and penalties. And in 2021, this is a timely topic because right now people are confused. The rules have changed and many people are confused about when and how they should be taking this required minimum distribution. And if they make a mistake, the penalty is 50%. You heard me right. It's 50% of what you were supposed to take out. That's the penalty on top of taking it out again. So it's a big hit. So this morning, I want to do something for you. I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to call it the ABCs, of RMDs before your levy breaks. Let's get into it. So first of all, what is an RMD? Well, I already said it, but I'll say it again. An RMD stands for the required minimum distribution. You notice I said required, meaning you can't get out of this one. When do you have to take it? Well, right now, the new rule is age 72. So when you're 72, you're going to have to take your RMD from your qualified account and pay ordinary income tax on that money. What's a qualified account? Well, a 401k, an IRA, a TSP, a 457, a 403b. List goes on and on. If you're not sure, ask me a question. 808-5627. Think of it this way. A, B, C. A stands for aggregation. You got it. The IRS requires that you calculate the RMD for each tax-deferred retirement account that you have. So let's say you have a 401k over at that job where you were there 5 years ago, and you have a 403b now at this new job, maybe a 457 down the street, IRA over there, a SEP account, maybe another rollover, an inherited IRA, a Kehoe plan. I mean, it just goes on and on. Well, guess what? Each one of those accounts, you have to look at the value of that account as of 12/31/2020. Pull out your statements now. Divide that by your life expectancy factor. You may say, well, what's that? Well, I'm going to have that for you in a minute, so just stay tuned. So you divide those numbers by that number, and that gives you a number. That's called your RMD. That's how much you have to take out of your IRA or these other accounts I just mentioned before the year is over. Now, you can aggregate the total. That's why I have the word aggregation for A. And withdraw your RMD from one, or you can stack it amongst multiple accounts in any combination. However, if you have a 403B, this RMD should be calculated separately, and the total amount can be withdrawn from any one or a combination of the accounts I mentioned. Keep in mind that 403Bs cannot be aggregated with an IRA. Likewise, if you own multiple 401ks, and we see this a lot, this is very problemsome with a 401k, is you must calculate and take each RMD separately out of each 401k. So that's a tough one. B, well, B stands for beginning withdrawals. When should you take your first RMD? Well, I just said that, when you turn 72. The year you turn 72, you are required to take the distribution from these accounts and any other account, like I mentioned, the 401ks. But you can avoid taking it from your 401k if you're still working there. And you must not own 5% or more of the company. You need to take this RMD, like I said, before the end of this year. So don't wait till the end, because then it gets very difficult. So December 31st of the year you turn 72. Now, if this is your first year, so let's say it's 2021, you just turned 72, or you're going to be 72 this year, you've got an out. You've got a one-time exception, if you will. This is the first time only that you're going to have the option of you could wait until April 1st of 2022 to take that RMD out for 2021. Now, this may be helpful for you, because then you don't have to pay the tax on that income for 2020 in addition to all your other income. But waiting means you could be, and you're probably going to be, subject to two distributions in 2022. And this could bump you into a higher tax bracket and have also an effect on your Medicare premiums that you're going to pay. So one strategy you could consider would be to take your distributions from your retirement accounts earlier. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean by that. So this past week, we had Eliza and Joe that gave us a call. They virtually met with us. Joe's 59 and Eliza is 57. Now, combined right now, they are making over $500,000 a year. Now, their house is almost paid off and they want to stop working at the pace they're going at right now in the next 3 years and move out of California because they're sick of the taxes. The biggest question they have is how will they live when they stop working? Where are the paychecks going to come from? So one solution we're considering right now is to wait for the RMD. Rather, start taking the money from the retirement accounts when they retire and let the Social Security benefit build up till age 70. And the reason we do this is because we're a little bit different than the other financial firms out there. In my office, we have a couple CPAs, we have several different attorneys, and we have a group of financial advisors who work together to figure out from a tax perspective what's the best way to plan for this. And so only by mapping this out on a spreadsheet using current tax rates can you see actual differences in what you pay for this stuff. Now, C is consider the taxes. This might be a great time for you to consider a Roth conversion. If you can't make a Roth contribution because you're making too much money, then you can spread the Roth conversion, notice I said conversion as opposed to contribution, over several years or more if you start when you're 60. By converting smaller amounts of money each year, you're likely to stay in or around the same tax bracket that you're in right now without triggering what's known as a phase out of your ability to claim personal exemptions. So at the same time, you can end up in an overall same tax bracket federally and same income tax bracket as well just by planning this stuff smartly. This strategy could make a lot of sense if your RMD is going to be significant, because what's going to happen is you're going to get bumped into a higher tax bracket. And again, we can model this for you on our spreadsheets and show you what we're talking about here. Another move you could make with your RMD is to consider buying life insurance. If you're not using RMD funds for retirement income, RMD payments after the taxes are paid could be multiplied by buying life insurance and then paying that death benefit out to your beneficiaries, and this comes out income tax free to them. Now, if you have an estate tax issue, where our attorneys come and get involved in this, you can design ways using a trust where this type of money will not only be income tax free, but could be estate tax free to your kids as well, because as you know, life insurance does add into the value of your estate. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you can use your RMD to pay for your grandkids' education and save taxes at the same time. Is that true? We'll find out. You're listening to Protect Your Assets with the Sandman. That's me. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And speaking about, hey, Google, you could say, listen to the market segment, and you can hear my market predictions for 2021. And what's going to happen with inflation and all the stimulus that's coming? Are we looking at some trouble? Well, a lot has changed last year. We all know that. But one thing that changed in 2020 that has created a lot of confusion right now for people in retirement are the rules surrounding required minimum distributions, or RMDs for short. Last year, they became NRMDs, i.e. not required minimum distributions. But what about this year? Lawmakers also changed the age when you must begin to take distributions from these accounts and pay taxes on them. And now it's age 72, not 70 and a half. I don't know why they make the laws for retirees so complicated, because trying to figure out all the rules surrounding RMDs, it's complex and it's confusing for those who are uninitiated. And if you make a mistake, you could face some pretty hefty penalties and taxes. That's why our team specializes in retirement planning, because this isn't something you can just dabble in or work part-time in. It's kind of like having heart surgery performed by a cardiologist instead of your family doctor. To get it right in retirement, you need a retirementologist And that's why we focus on retirement planning and why we are talking about today the 8 things you need to know about RMDs in 2021. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say that you can lower your taxes by giving your RMD to your grandkids for their education. Well, is that true? Well, it really depends how you look at it, I would say. Using your distribution to open and fund a 529 plan for your grandchild's high school or college education can get you a state income tax deduction in some cases, but the deduction won't eliminate your entire tax bill. It could reduce it, however, a little bit, but it won't reduce the whole thing. So, moreover, if you have an estate tax problem and you want to shift some of those assets that are going to be... The 529 plan that you fund with your RMD could negatively impact your grandchild's financial aid eligibility. Here's what I mean by this. It's a little bit complicated, so get ready to write some things down. Money in a grandparent-owned 529 account is not reported as an asset on the free application for federal student aid, also known as the FAFSA. But withdrawals from the account are reported as untaxed income to the student, reducing aid eligibility by as much as 50% of the distribution amount. Students are allowed up to $6,600 in annual income before aid is reduced. So to get around that issue, you can time your distribution to be made after January 1 of the student's sophomore year, sophomore status, they call it. Another option is you could roll over a year's worth of funds at a time to a parent-owned 529 plan. If the rollover occurs after the FAFSA is filed and if the funds are spent before the next FAFSA is submitted, the money won't show up as an asset on that FAFSA form, and any distributions won't affect your grandchild's aid eligibility either. So what's another way you could eliminate the RMD? Well, there's really only one choice as you start to consider retirement, and that's a Roth IRA. And I know a lot of people say, well, I can't do a Roth, I make too much. But Roth IRAs are the only type of retirement account that is not subject to an RMD over your lifetime. At least that's the way it is right now. They're tax-free, and the government receives no economic benefit from or when you withdraw money out of that IRA Roth account. So to keep you out of trouble, if you want to do a conversion, remember earlier I was talking about a contribution versus a conversion. I'm talking about conversions right now where you convert out of, say, a qualified account into a Roth account. You need to look at these sort of things. Now, you must follow this three-step approach, as I call it. Step one is you have to satisfy the RMD if you're 72, like we talked about in the last segment. If you missed any of that, I know I gave you a lot of information, go back and listen to our podcast. Step two, pay tax on it when you take it out of the qualified account. And step three is convert what's left within your IRA to a Roth. A lot of the people we work with will convert the whole amount and pay the tax, say, out of their bank account. That way they keep the same amount of money growing tax-free over the length of that savings period. So it's another way to think about it. So I know that Roth IRAs are probably the most valuable retirement account that you could have because they're unshackled from government taxation. They're tax-free. And of course, nothing's better than tax-free except for free. But what if you don't have any or much in Roth IRAs? Are you stuck with the dreaded RMD? Well, the answer is it depends on how much of a giving heart you have. Because you see, if you give to nonprofits right now, to charities, then there's a way to keep the IRS happy by fulfilling your RMD duty and at the same time avoiding the tax on your RMD distribution. What I'm talking about is an acronym known as the Qualified Charitable Distribution, or QCD. Now, this morning, I want to give you a few things to think about as you think about QCDs, because they are a little bit complicated and you need to satisfy these sort of things. So first of all, you can give up to $100,000 from your qualified account, like an IRA, when you're over age 72, without counting the distribution as taxable on your tax return. Normally, when you take money out of your IRA, it is ordinary income, and that withdrawal will add to your total income for the year, and this inflates the percentage that you typically pay on your income. But by using this, you just don't see it. The QCD is not taxable, and it benefits the charity that you are trying to benefit. And so this is great. So normally, charitable giving can only be deducted if it's less than 50% of your adjusted gross income, but this allows you to go all the way up to the $100,000 limit per year if that's something you're trying to do. So to fully count as a QCD, there's three things you need to know. First, the QCD must come from a traditional IRA. Notice how I said that, traditional IRA. QCDs can't come from, say, a 401k. These accounts must be first rolled over into your IRA, if you had a 401k, before it would qualify for the QCD rule. So you have plenty of time this year to do that. And if it's something you're thinking about, now's the time to take action on that. Second, the distribution must transfer directly to the qualified charity. Now, qualified charities are 501c3 organizations. The list doesn't include donor advised funds, foundations, or other grant making organizations, and you must receive a confirmation letter from the charity, and the letter must include the statement that no goods or services were received in exchange for your gift. So this is a great way to do good and use money that you would have otherwise paid income tax on. And instead, by using this approach, you don't take money from your bank account or your paycheck, as you might be doing right now. And this becomes very tax efficient. Coming up next on PYA, Larry wants to know, if I'm 5 years or closer to retirement, should I even consider converting to a Roth IRA? Or should I look at a defined benefit plan? These are really good questions, Larry. Keep it tuned right here, because when we come back, I'm going to get you your answers. You are listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with the Sandman. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey, Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. Step on the patio,
follow where your daddy's leading. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. Don't forget, speaking of taking advantage of great opportunities, I believe one of the best ways to become more informed is by attending one of our upcoming webinars. Go to our website right now, libertygroupllc.com. Click on the attend an event column there, and you can register. It's hard to break a habit, I know, after 30 or 40 years, isn't it? Well, if you've been contributing to your 401k or your 403b, you've created a multi-decade healthy habit of saving. But guess what? This year, when you turn 72, it's time to break that habit. Think of it as an IRA contribution cessation program, complements of the IRS. This is known as the dreaded and confusing RMD, or required minimum distribution. And this is what we've been talking about this morning as we've given you 8 tips to deal with these new changes. And so this last segment comes from Larry. Larry asks, if I'm 5 years or closer to retirement, should I even be considering converting or contributing money to a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k? Or should I be looking at a defined benefit plan? So Larry, great question. This really depends. Building up a tax-free nest egg certainly gives you flexibility and control as tax rates could change here in the future. In fact, as the result of what we just heard last week, they're raising the corporate tax rate, if they pass this, to 28% from 21% over 15 years. And certainly individuals could be next. So a Roth can be a terrific asset during retirement or a way to leave a tax-free legacy to your children. So Larry has given us some information. He has a lot of real estate holdings, and he derives most, about 90% of his income, from his real estate. In fact, his cash flow positively is about $400,000 a year, and right now he's paying taxes on that income. So Larry, you can set up what's known as a defined benefit plan, where you could stash away a big part of that $400,000, and you can drop your federal tax bracket you're paying right now down from 37% to 12%. And at the same time, you can stick away a bunch of that money into a tax-deferred vehicle so it can grow, say, over the next 10 or 15 years of your lifetime. So don't even get started on the state of California, Larry, because you're right, they're going to tax you too. And if you want to avoid that, this is a great way to do it. One other thing to keep top of mind is that 401ks and TSPs, Larry, are great for savings as you're saving, but when you're nearing or in retirement, 401ks or 403bs and TSPs, by the way, aren't designed to provide you with retirement security. They're designed for growing while you're working, and then when you get ready to retire, well, they're designed to push money out and have you pay taxes on them. So also, Larry, it might be a really good time for you right now to roll over some of these accounts to an IRA that could be better diversified and more flexible for RMD investing. I don't know if any of that makes sense to you, but if it does, then think about rolling over your accounts. I'd like to give a huge thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all the fabulous producers answering the phone right now, Phil, Felicia, and Brett, thank you guys for doing that, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.